Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Proteus' Primetime Show, presented by Amp Radio. Tonight, we're coming to you live and direct, again from the quiet streets of Brantford, Ontario. We are still currently waiting for our guests. We're waiting on Dean from Georgia and Showtime from Tennessee, both of whom I assume are trying to avoid the various serious hurricane, Hurricane Matthew, passing through the southern eastern side of the United States of America. And we wish you all well in that part of the world if you're coming at us from that area of the world. Everybody hang on tight. Get the safety. So anyways, we're going to talk to them. It might be a short show if nobody calls in. Might be just me talking to myself. And as Dean likes to tell me, it's not very good when I do that. But so let's hope somebody calls in and helps me out. By the way, the phone lines are open. 1-646-668-8160. We're going to talk a little MMA. We've got UFC 204 coming up on the weekend, and we had the pre-press conference today. From what I hear, Michael Bisping was running his mouth. All I've been able to see so far is the highlights of the square offs, which I thought Dan Henderson won. Michael Bisping was very, very nervous. And I thought that Henderson's zing there at the end was great, how they're going to give him a new belt. He's like, yeah, you can keep that one. They're just going to give me a new one when I win it. So I thought that was funny. It should be an interesting weekend and some interesting fights, you know, like we did last night and Smack My Picks Up. We did the main card and we did our picks. After seeing the weigh-ins or the pre-fight press conference, I'm more confident with my pick of Dan Henderson repeating. And I know there's a bit of a narrative about whether or not Dan Henderson is actually going to give up the title if he wins it. I don't know if he's going to, but as I've said before, I believe on this show, that would be fantastic if he did. I think I said it last night. Yeah, probably did. Anyways, so I think that would be fantastic. And of course, I'm looking forward to seeing Belfort and Musasi. I think that's going to be a good fight. See Musasi coming through with that one, like I said last night. And moving on, same as OSP, Manawa. Going to be a good fight too. I'm hoping that OSP comes through on that one, but you know, Manawa has those hands of steel, so you never know. I thought the height difference in this Struve Oleanchuk, Marco told me how to say it last night and I forgot. The height difference there is crazy. If Stefan Struve cannot use his height and his reach to his advantage in this fight, I don't know, there's probably not much hope for him. But I wanted to put a little bit of a bow on last weekend's card because we didn't really get to talk about it because of the show on Sunday. We had technical difficulties and we didn't get to do a show on Sunday. So let's put a bow on that, shall we? The main event, well, first of all, we had a bunch of Brazilians not make weight, most notably of all the co-main event and main event. Lineker in the main event missed weight by, I believe it was 0.5. And Cowboy Oliveira missed weight by a considerable amount. So let's talk about that first while we're on the subject. There's a huge narrative right now about what we can do about guys missing weight and whether or not they should be, you know, find more money, or what I think should be happening, and you know, what is in you know, the other fighters, you know, which would have been in Brooks's right to do, was turn down the fight and take his money, you know. Quite clearly, we saw that Oliveira had a size and weight advantage, and he did use that against the much smaller Brooks. You know, this is what concerned me about this fight. When we did the Smack My Picks Up, I was concerned about Oliveira coming down to 155. And guess what? He didn't make it to 155. Not even close. So all of that worry was for naught, because he had an advantage. You know, he had an advantage over his opponent, and he used it. And I think that was an unfair advantage. When you got the guy going up against a much larger guy, going up against a smaller guy, and Brooks is very athletic, you know. I just think that Brooks could have turned that fight down, and he should have turned it down. And now he's got a broken rib, and he's going to be out for a while. So I don't know how much good that did him in the end. And of course, Lineker being the greatest of all time, as Luke Thomas calls him, at misses weight yet again, and after he had moved up a weight class. So that's concerning. Of course, he had a plethora of excuses for why he did not make weight, amongst which was the flight from Brazil up to the Pacific Northwest of the United States of America. And I understand that perhaps, you know, you're going to hold on to some weight after such a long trip on a plane. But Americans fly down there all the time. And yes, perhaps it is different flying up from the Southern Hemisphere to the Northern Hemisphere. I'm sure that probably affects things. I'm just not buying it. It seems like he needs to just lay off the pizza during fight week, as John Morgan had told us that he once saw Lineker on fight week in it wasn't the Philippines. Anyway, eating a piece of pizza fight week. So he's got to probably lay off doing that. And another narrative I heard coming out of this fight was that, Dodson was running. I disagree. You know, there's a difference between running and being a defensive fighter, which I think that we really need to see and get a hold of in MMA, and the judges need to start understanding that that's a technique that to use. Like, why would you stand in front of somebody who's got power? You're going to try and, you know, evade and get away and hit, you know, take your punches and land your punches. And I think I've talked about this before on the show too, that you know, that's a thing, you know, that's a defense. One of the greatest boxers of all time employs that technique. He just does it in a much smaller confined area than the octagon, so maybe that's why it looks more impressive. I don't know. But I don't believe that Dodson was running. Oh yeah, and let's give a big stun gun out to FS1 starting the main card at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What's with that? I was fighting off the sleep like crazy, man. You know, I actually fell asleep between the co-main. I fell asleep for the co-main and the main event. The last fight I watched was the Berkman fight, which I thought he won also. Very good and close fight, but I thought Berkman won. So, you know, stun gun on them for starting things so late. And I heard today that I believe that World Series of Fighting is starting their show tomorrow at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I just don't think that's a very smart move, especially on a Friday. But I digress, because I know that they're not actually responsible or in charge of when they get slotted onto the channel that they're on. So that's me talking to myself for a while. Let's go into a different subject. Talk about Josh Saman. passing away. We touched on it on last night's show. SmackDown picks up a bit. And since then, I've listened to Luke Thomas, and I believe Dwayne Finley on his live chat today had some very nice and touching things to say about his friend, Joss the Man. You know, when I kind of touched on it last night, it's very dubious circumstances, and it's very, very strange that, you know, what he had gone through in his life, and, you know, with his girlfriend dying, and as Luke had said on his show, some other close family members dying in very weird and conspicuous ways, and so it's very strange. And like Luke Thomas said also, I mean, it's going to come out in the wash eventually. We're going to find out, and you know, I hope we do. I'm not trying to sully his reputation or anything, but, you know, as Marco had pointed out yesterday, he did have a history of substance abuse, and I hope that's not the case. I hope, well, anyways, let's hope we get to the truth and we find out what actually happened. So another piece of news that has been coming out this week, we had another fighter, and another Brazilian fighter, in fact, to the disgruntled column when it comes to the UFC. And Anderson Silva is now saying that he is unhappy with the UFC and how he's been treated. So with, you know, Nurmi and Jose Aldo speaking out as well, and of course there's still the GSP situation where we don't know what's happening there. We don't know whether or not, you know, that contract is going to be signed, if GSP is going to come back. Hopefully he's going to fight in Toronto, which will, the big fight has been announced for that, for UFC 206 in December, Toronto. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So again, I was saying, I believe two Sundays ago, we were talking, oh, maybe it was last weekend on this show, we were talking about unions. Yes, that's right, when Rodney James was on. And by the way, if all of you have not checked out Roddy James' interview with Tim Kennedy, you go check that out on his YouTube page. It's a great interview. Two Texans talking, being honest with one another. Go check it out. So we were talking, we did broach the subject of the union, and I was saying, I was hoping that they were, you know, getting a lot of cards turned in favor of the union because of just these things that we're hearing the fighters say right now. You know, Jose coming out saying that he's unhappy. I mean, this guy was, you know, champion for, he was the only champion. And they're treating him the way they're treating him. So I know he hasn't always played ball, but guess what? That's what happens. We're seeing with Conor right now, Conor McGregor, that he's not playing ball, but he's making a ass ton of money. Sorry, that was Luke Thomas speak. He's making a shit ton of money. So, yeah. I've got a caller coming in right now. Let's go ahead and take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're alive on Proteus' primetime show.
Proteus is Dean.
Hey, Dean. What's happening?
Just get ready to, just doing final preparations for this storm.
Yeah, man, that's what we were talking about earlier. Hang on, I'm looking for your song here. Let's get your entrance music here. I can find it. Anyway, so how is the preparations going for the storm? How is things looking?
I mean, it's good. I'm like got everything prepared inside the house, outside the house, everything's in, because, you know, I have a pool and a jacuzzi, but the screen that covers it, I mean, whatever's going to happen to that is going to happen to that. There's nothing I control. All I can control is my yard, bringing everything into my sunroom. I did all that, all the outdoor patio furniture, all everything's inside. Everything inside the house kind of elevated, other than a couple of appliances. All my TVs, computers, everything's unplugged, covered with like black industrial plastic bags, you know, just trying to protect it because I have everything ready, like the sinks, you know, the things that we say, like, you know, fill the tub up with water and, you know, for precautionary if you're, you know, because if your sewer lines go bad. But my biggest concern is that I have three dogs and there's not hotels other than Alabama, which is about,
wow.
Even one of my students in one of my classes, like, said, hey, my dad has a thing up there, I could support it, but she did it like today. And I mean, and I have friends that are traveling like 150, less than 200 miles, and it's taken them like 7-8 hours to travel there. So there's no way. And I have, and people, and there's gas stations running out of gas. I have a V8.
Right.
I get like 20 miles to the gallon max. So stop and go in my Infiniti M45. With a V8, it's
right.
Not going to be good. So I'd rather, at that time, so my thought process was like, I'm just going to storm it here. I cleaned up my garage so I could park my cars in my garage and just prepare it. And then I started talking to a friend, and he was like, hey, come out to Folkestone. It's about 40, 50 miles west of where I'm at.
Right.
So right now, the current state, it's about to hit West Palm Beach, I think, in about like 2 hours. So as it comes up towards Daytona and pulls up, if it slows down to like a 3-something, the reports that I've shown said where it hits me, and I have a lot of trees by my house, probably about like 110, 120 miles per hour, the winds. So that's scary, you know,
right.
Shingles being removed,
yeah.
Siding being removed, different aspects like that. But where I'm planning on going with my dogs, it's probably only going to be about 50 to 60 miles per hour. So it's significantly less. So it's just basically where I'm at will be like a Cat 3, Cat 4, hurricane warning. And where I'm going is just a tropical storm watch or something like that. So it's really it's downgraded significantly where I plan on going. But I'm just going to make that decision bright and early in the morning. I'm going to wake up at like about 5, 6 in the morning, look at the reports. And make the decision, see if I'm going to either fight it out here. I mean, either way, I'm going to not have electricity either way. It's just trying to keep these dogs calm, too. And so
sure,
that's a challenge.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Well, you know what?
As the storm moves up, you got Nicole coming by, and they're talking about that thing combining and then whipping back down. So it's scary.
Right.
All right, so let's talk about
it. It is very scary. No, no, let's put a smile on your face here for a second.
Georgia.
Georgia. The whole day through.
For all of you that don't know, this is Dean's entrance music from MMA Junkie Radio back in the day when there used to be entrance music. And Dean was lucky enough to have some music back in the day. Wasn't that something? Weren't those the days?
Yeah, it's entry music is one of the biggest things that I miss. I miss the overtimes, which we had one the other day. It was pretty rare.
Yeah.
And the entry music, I miss that. Because it's like, you know, now, like, you hear the entry music, you knew what type of call. You knew if you could...
Yeah.
You knew if you like you really you know you get some of your favorite callers and you get excited and you're like, all right, let's put something on pause or put something on stop what you're doing for a second just to hear their call. So I really miss the entry music. Yeah, Goes for most people, I think Goes picked their music. I mean, and I think
indeed.
For the longest time, I think he was aware that I wasn't from. But he didn't know that I was from Rhode Island, from New England, but I believe so. But he knew that I lived in Georgia, and I always said, you know, Dean from Georgia. So that was my song, and I was gonna try to one time change. I was like, man, let me maybe put the Ludacris Georgia rap song or something. But no, I just stuck with it. I liked it after a while. Now when I hear it, and then when I hear it, now it brings a smile to my face because I think about. You know, calling into the show, and being on hold for 30 minutes, and then all of a sudden it's like, let's bring in, and then they stop playing the music. So
yeah, absolutely. I remember those days very, very, very well as well. I didn't call in at that point. I called in a little bit later, but I used to listen. So yeah, I used to love the lineup that happened back in those days. Yeah. Anyways, let's transition. Let's transition to reminiscing.
I got about 15 minutes. I could talk about 15
sure.
minutes.
Sure. You just let me know when you got to go, because I'll probably just end the show there, because I've been talking for a while by myself. So, but what I was just talking about was, a lot of more of these UFC fighters. We talked about this last week on the show, but you weren't on the show last week, and we were discussing about all these fighters speaking up now. You know, especially this week, we got Jose, we've got Nurmi speaking up, and now we've got Anderson Silva speaking up against the UFC. This is starting to become a more and more of a trend, and we've talked about unionization before, but let's get your thoughts on this. I mean, even the greatest of all time, Anderson Silva, jumping on that boat, trashing the UFC. What do you think about that?
I heard about the Habib, and I heard about the Aldo trashing and yep. making threats about getting the title shot. But I didn't hear about the Anderson, but Anderson's, you know, one of the greatest of all time, but you know, until he had that feud with like Chael and stuff, he was never a big seller. You know, he was by
right.
far pound for pound the best fighter in the world, but until Chael started beating, he beat a couple of people, and he beat Nate Marquardt, and then Yushan Akami and stuff like that, and then he, you know, was just constantly calling out Anderson, and when he fought him at 117, but it was like, if Chael wasn't around, it was like, that was kind of like his mm-hmm. Ali Frazier. He needed that to bring him over the top. That's why I thought, I didn't think Conor was going to be able to beat Aldo, so I thought that's what Aldo needed, because if you looked at Aldo's like pay-per-view numbers and stuff, they were always extremely low,
yeah.
and I thought he needed someone like a McGregor. That's why I thought the whole how it was going to play out. I thought Aldo was going to beat him, so I thought it was going to play out similar to a Anderson zoning like deja vu. I'm surprised.
Right.
You know, he comes off and he had the drugs when he fought Nick Diaz, and he had the drug incident. Then he came in
mm-hmm.
for Michael Bisping and lost. It's, I mean, I guess you got to give him a pass because he is still going down as the greatest of all time. I'm just kind of shocked. You know, when you get Aldo, just came off like one loss, but definitely deserving of a rematch, which I think he got kind of screwed out of, but he's never like sold himself. He's just, you know, he's had the injury bug hit him quite a few times. He's pulled out of certain fights. So I wonder if the UFC is just, you know, he's probably definitely cost them more money than he's made them. So,
right. You know, there is that, right?
It is a business. You know,
right.
it's all the money that they
yeah.
spent on marketing and all that stuff, and delay. So when he was the big time seller, you know, what, 150, 200 max buys, pay per view buys, if you look at his pay per view history.
Mm-hmm.
And as a headliner, probably it was near the two. If he was on a co main with someone else, that was really solid. But he's always done kind of like poor numbers. Habib, when you look at the people that he beat, you know, he hasn't. I mean, yes, he's a great sambo fighter and world champion sambo, and but I mean, Gleison Tibau, Abel Trujillo, he beats RDA and stuff like that, but the Horcha guy, like his wins, what was that? I think he beat Kamal Sharos and I think a couple others, but like. He hasn't beat, like, Beast
right.
and, like, that's been, like, always a top 10, 15. He's only beat, like, one or two guys that's top 10, top 15. And with that many people in the division, it's easy to go on that 5, 6, 7, 8 fight win streak without beating, like, marquee guys, you know? So I think
mm-hmm.
his
sure, absolutely.
Not, his not his is not warranted. I mean, yes, he has a 6-7 fight win streak. He is undefeated, so you could definitely market him in that way. But when I look at his record, what he's done in the UFC, you know, most of the people are near, you know, 500 type fighters or sub 500 fighters, minus, you know, a couple more than less than half of them are above 500, probably like Gleason.
Okay, so let me ask you this: if he beats Michael Johnson at UFC 205, does he deserve the title shot then?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I would only say that because, well, I don't know. I think if Ferguson, that's still tough.
Right.
I think Ferguson's been on a little bit more of an impressive run. I think he's fought tougher people. The only thing is he looked pretty poor when he fought the featherweight coming from RFA, Landon, Lando, because he almost got
Landon
caught.
Landon Donata?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He only got caught by him, so that's the only thing I got reserved by him. He beat Edson Barboza. He beat did he beat Michael Johnson? Yes. No, Michael Johnson beat him. Michael Johnson beat him, but I know he beat Edson Barboza, and he beat, you know, a couple other that are up in that echelon. So I just think his record was a little more impressive. I was a little more impressed by his record, and I think his activity and then what he did for UFC would, you know, if I was the matchmaker, I'd give him the shot, unless they plan on going into Europe. If they plan on going to Europe near Russia, yes, then you have to have Habib as the focal point. But, I mean, I just think a lot of people now are all speaking up because they, you know, they see certain people like Conor speaking up and they're getting the money. And then everyone just, you know, sometimes I think the new owners are going to have, like, certain troubles. And, you know, luckily they keep a lot of some of the main staff, but some of these people are probably thinking their worth is more than it actually is. And they're trying to, you know, get this money and I want this and that. And the UFC's, you know, eventually they're going to get to a point where they're going to call them on it. Go somewhere, you know, unless they're megastars. And that was clear that I'm still surprised. I mean, you're from Canada, but I'm still surprised they got rid of Rory because they don't have, other than GSP, they don't have a superstar from Canada. You know, that's still a huge market that you could put Rory McDonald. Like, they're going to have this Canada card. Like, out of the Canadian fighters, who's on there that you're excited about? You know, they got Laprise, was it OBM, Elias, nothing, McDessie. You know,
nobody.
Nothing. There's not that marquee name. Yeah, I mean,
no, there's nobody.
At least Rory, you didn't have to put him at the main event every time, but like, put him either at the feature or the co-main. Like, put him, you know,
especially if you're going to go to Canada, right?
Yeah, you want to go in Canada at 206. You could have put Johnson and DC as the main, and then, you know, maybe even another fight. Co-main, but they wanted to put him on like a feature bout, or at least the top three fights, you know, either as a feature bout or a co-main, and he just brings in so many more fans. I mean, because it's his hometown, or just being from Canada, but they don't have anyone. I mean, they don't even have people that they can even put on the main card. Those are all like prelim. All the English fighters that have name, they're pretty much prelim fighters.
Yeah.
Like, in some cards,
yeah,
it's pretty sad. They wouldn't even headline like the fight path. That's how bad.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Let's quickly, because you brought it up, let's talk about UFC 206 and the fight that's been announced for it. Which I'm not really overly impressed with. You know, I mean, we knew this was going to be coming. You know, we knew Daniel was going to be having to fight Anthony Johnson at some point, but I think that's pretty much the only fight that they really had in their pocket that they could go, okay, Canadian fans, this is what we're going to give you. We're going to give you DC versus AJ, and be happy with it. You know, I mean, there's some other, like you said, some other rumored fights that are going to be on there, but nobody else that sticks out, right? What I think they need to do, Dean, is they need to get this thing with GSP settled. Put that fight either on top of, well, I don't know if you can put it on top of the light heavy title, but maybe you put it as a co-main and that thing's selling out like crazy. This fight is not going to sell it out. Go ahead, Dean.
No, Gigi addressed this thing that in the Ingles, they talked about it, said that you almost have to, especially who you pair him up with, you know? Who does he go dance with? Does he dance with Diaz? Yes, that's the main event. Does he dance with Silva? Yes, that's the main event. Does he dance with Maya? That's not a main event. I mean, I know it's GSP,
right,
but in my eyes, I don't think that trumps a title fight. Robbie Lawler?
Yeah, I can.
Maybe, yeah, probably. Yeah, being a, you know, former champion or something like that, yeah, probably. But, like,
sure,
they had something nice online, and, I've thought about these before, like, who can you match him up with? You know, they talk about someone brings up Bisping, but I don't think even like that. I don't see that fight happening. I just see it either being Diaz, Anderson, maybe Lawler. I mean, I know Maya said that he would, and actually, I think he was on UFC Tonight and he mentioned Damian Maya, but I don't like that. I don't like that fight.
You were saying that the other week.
I mean, if I was, you know, I enjoy the technical aspect, and that's what I think it would be. I think it would be a very technical fight on the ground, and I mean, it would be odd to see GSP getting basically worked over on the ground. I mean, I don't know if that would happen. That would be the
it would
most,
be weird.
That'd probably be the that would probably be the most intriguing thing about that fight is if you know, either if GSP got him down, could he hold him and everything, and then could he survive, or if Maya was able to like trip him or something like that, get him down, and just see what GSP would do from the bottom, because Maya's
we haven't seen that much, have we?
If not, no, yeah, you haven't, you know. And to me,
right,
with that fight, that's the most intriguing thing for me in that fight. Other than that, I really don't want to see it, other than just to see GSP come back. But
right,
you
know. Yeah.
But with the other,
well,
fights,
I think that's basically. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I said, but with the other fights, there's more than just, like, one aspect that I'm excited about.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah, and I think, go ahead.
No, sorry, this is a delay. I was saying the other
fights. I know, it's like a two-second delay. It's weird. It's hard to deal with.
It's
not your fault.
On the map, Makowski versus Moraga. I like that fight.
Yeah.
All right, go. We'll do it like a military over.
Yeah, no, I like that fight too. But I mean, that's not gonna that can't be the co-main, though. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be other fights that need to be added to this. And we saw them. We saw the UFC come through with the UFC 205 card at the last minute. So I'm gonna be still going to cover the event. I'm probably not going to go inside the event. I'm probably going to cover it from, you know, say my hotel room or something like that, just because it's really hard to live tweet if you're not actually like on press row or something like that. If you're in with a bunch of fans, it's going to be hard for me to do that to work. So that's probably what I'll do if I go to this event. I'm not really. I mean, it's going to be a good fight, and that's for the hardcores. But we need to have some other fights here that, you know, are really going to pull in the fans, because as we saw from the last fight card that they put in Montreal with Demetrius headlining, nobody went to go see that. You know what I mean? There was nobody there. But speaking of nobody being there, UFC Fight Night 97, since BJ Penn dropped out, has been, so the UFC says, rescheduled. Did you hear about this? Because I know you're doing Hurricane.
No, I heard.
Today, but,
yeah, I heard a little bit. I briefly saw the headline on Junkie, and then when I was listening like on and off today, because I was going back and forth with things, but I did catch it. One of the callers mentioned it, and I'm just shocked. I mean, maybe because it's just 1 week away, it's in the Philippines, it's going to take a couple of days, and the cut, like someone, they would have to pull like a bantamweight. I think Brian Carroll was willing to, like, they have to pull somebody from definitely from a lower class, willing to come up, because with with it being a week, just about a week away, the travel, the time zone differences and stuff, that would be really, really challenging. Really, really challenging to go over there, be on weight, do everything you got to do. So I think Caraway volunteered, and that would have been interesting, but it kind of shows me that they probably have something a little more intriguing for Caraway, because he's kind of up, he's right up there. He's close. He's like one, two fights away. You know, maybe a throw him in against Lineker or something. Maybe they're thinking about that. That's or Dillashaw, since they were both on the show. I've heard them talk about, but I think Cody's saying Dominic and maybe like, I don't know what they got for stuff for Lineker, but I do like, actually, as I think about it, that Dillashaw and Caraway, I do like that, especially because they were both on the same show. I can't remember if they were on the same team.
Right. So did
they fight
Garbrandt the title shot?
Do I think he deserves it, or do I think he'll get it?
No, I'm just asking what you do. If you're Joe Silva and you got to plan the event.
I like giving to people that earn it, but he's going to sell it, and he's been selling it more, and more people are interested, and so I think he's going to get the – I think he'll get the fight. I think it's going to be at probably 207. Max.
Really?
I think it'll be
Super Bowl card.
Super Bowl card. Because right now they're planning on talking Ronda and Nunes, allegedly.
Yeah.
And then Ronda's a big name.
Allegedly.
So then with the bantamweight division not being that big of a name still, I mean, Dominic's still growing, put them as a co-main, you'll put more eyes on Dominic Cruz or Cody Garbrandt, and then go with, I think they're planning on Kane and Verdum, and you can put that as a very strong feature bout. And because it is the end of the year card, they usually come really top. So, I mean, I think that's going to be your top three, just my opinion.
Okay, Dean, how are we doing for time here, brother? How are we doing for time?
I'm going to go 8 minutes. I'm going to go to 11:15, but we could talk.
Okay, so you got two choices. I got two more topics that I want to cover with you. I want to cover Josh the Man, and I want to cover the celebrities being brought in as part owners of the UFC. So you choose which one you want to talk about first.
Josh the Man. It's just hot. You know, it's gut-wrenching. You know, you saw him on the show. You know, on the show at first, you know, he came across pretty cocky and, you know, as a fighter. And I didn't know it was him, but I think it was one of the down there in Florida, I think they have Ring of King, not King of the Ring, King of Rage or something like that. One of those Florida promotions. And he wasn't fighting, but I think he was like a champion or something like that at the time. And but he wasn't fighting, but I've seen him before. He was on the show. And I mean, he came across pretty cocky, and he kind of seemed like he was trying to place and like make his fight. So then he, like, I think he should fight so and so, and I'll fight so and so, so we could do this. It's like he was like almost avoiding particular matches rather than just like give me whoever, line them up. I'm the best here on the show. I'm gonna win. You know, he didn't have that attitude. He was cocky, but he was like, he was trying to like be in the driver's seat and making decisions for the execs. But I think the show just sold it like that, because you have to sometimes always have that, the bad person, the villain or type in the show, and you can't have everyone
the heel
and happy a heel. Yeah, correct. That's the term I was looking for. So I come to think that he was really just, you know, they were playing him as the heel. And then just when he's been on the show and just his pre and post announcements and the stuff that's happened to him. I didn't read his book, but I heard it was really, really good. Some of his readings were done really well. I know he had a tragic, I feel bad for their family. Like, I know he had a tragic with his I think it was his fiance or his wife, a fiance.
Yeah.
And there was actually times where, like, he went to go visit, like, one of the shows, and she was, like, right there with him. But he was there as a, like, as a guest. And it was, like, shortly after the incident, and those taping a tough show, and just, you just felt really bad. You feel bad for him. And then, I mean, he's had some really nice knockouts. His fight versus Eddie Gordon, that's still, like, you know, easily, like, it was one of my top, like, knockouts. It came out of nowhere, and it was nasty. So I was like, I always respected him. You know, he always came forward. He always brought it, you know. He didn't make too many excuses if he lost, which is always, well, you know, I respect that a lot, rather than, oh, something I ate, I had this, I had that. And I don't recall too many times that he made so many excuses when he's lost. So, no, he's definitely one of the fighters where I've always was excited to see him when he was on the card. So I feel really bad for, you know, him and his family. And, you know, my prayers, you know, went out.
Yeah.
So definitely.
Yeah, I was talking about this earlier before you came on. And I was saying that it's really odd, you know, to what has happened to his family, everyone who surrounded him, and now him. It's really, really odd, the circumstances surrounding these deaths. And apparently he had a whole bunch of deaths in his family too, that, you know, not only his fiance, but his immediate family, that were really strange and sudden and abrupt. So, yeah, it's very, very strange. And I hope the truth comes out about what actually did happen. So quickly, before we let you go, we got a couple more minutes. Let's talk about
this. Did they, I got a question, but did, like, what,
yeah.
Was it definitely announced that he had, like, OD?
No, they're going to do an autopsy. There's no news yet. There's no update yet about what actually has happened. Like I said, we have to wait for the autopsy to come out, which they are going to do, since it seems like it's a suspicious death. And especially with, you know, his friend and ring announcer from his fight promotion also dying, dead on arrival. So, you know, definitely something suspicious has happened there.
Yeah, that's so sad, though. Now with the new owners.
So let's talk about that real quick, and then we'll get out of here.
Okay, what was your question?
Well, what do you think about it? You know, what do you think the driving force is behind?
I haven't read. I just know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely going to bring more. I haven't read fully. Like I said, I've been so occupied.
Yeah, just give us your opinion.
I read is that, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I read that I think they had to pay 200, and I think I saw Buffalo Blue or something like post where they paid $250,000 for minority ownership, because I think it was like point 0.1% or something like that. It's like extremely low.
Sure.
Not even that much. I think it was one hundredth of a percent or something like that. It's something, yeah, because one tenth. Because if it's 1%, 1% would cost them like $40 million. So it couldn't be It was like 1/100th or something like that of a percent. To have 0.01%, you had to come up with $250,000 or $300,000 or $400,000 to have that piece of the pie. I just think, you know, it's one of those things where they could use as part of write-up, then they get the little bonuses. But, you know, I think it's going to expand the sport. It's going to, certain stars in the sport's going to have additional opportunities that's going to come their way. You know, that we've had fighters in major roles, but in movies. You know, you had your all those, not that great, but like, you know, you had the Michael Bisping and the Anderson Silva and the GSP and the Tyron Woodley and I know they've had trainers. I mean, they've, you know, Mushroom and certain fighters and they,
sure.
But for active fighters and stuff, I think it's going to bring more eyes. They have more of a expansion globally that I think
mm-hmm.
their company with entertainment. I think that's going to make I don't think it can be bad for the company. This is a way to kind of consume maybe small portions, like some of their money back. And I just don't, you know, what are the benefits of having the 0.01, you know, what are they getting out of it? You know, it's not going to match up to probably 250,000. Okay. You go to a couple of events. All right. You get tickets to whatever event you want to go to, you know, you could buy that for $1,000, $2,000. I just wonder what's the part of the package other than owning 0.01 or something percent. Like, what do they get from it? I think for the sport and the fighters, it's going to help them because now they're associated with, they're already with the IMG and WMI, IMG, and
yeah, close enough.
Going into the entertainment field, you know, they're having all that expansion and. It's going to continue to grow because they're just going to go into a different, you know, completely different market probably. It's going to probably open up doors for, you know, new and exciting, you know, that Reebok deal.
Bring some more casual fans?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think it'll bring in casual fans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you may see UFC-type sponsorship going into now the big sports, you know.
Mm-hmm.
commercial, you know, more on their commercial lines, and then, by their fields or teams that associate, you know, it's like a Robert Kraft or Jones, or, you know, you'll see stuff at like Gillette Stadium or Cowboy Stadium, if they're getting associated
sure.
and affiliated with the UFC. I can't see it as a bad thing. You know, if anything where it could put more eyes on the sport, that's great. But I don't want to see them turn it into a clown
like a
show.
Sideshow.
Like a sideshow. That's what I don't want. But
yeah,
they're big enough. They have enough talent. They don't really have to have that. If they have it like, you know, onesie twosies per year, that's, you know, for a one or two fight per year, like a CM Punk fight, that's fine. You know, I still don't, I'm not a huge fan of it, but as long as it's not all the time, you know, when it's not coming out all the time, that's when I'll find myself, you know, maybe, you know, watching less or recording that and then fast forwarding over it. It's going to get to that point, you know, rather than me want to see every fight, every card, you know, which I don't do that now. I used to. It's just lately, it's just so many and stuff that I got going on. Like, I don't have the time.
It's hard to keep up.
I mean,
right?
The last few fights, I mean, there's been a few where I recorded them and caught them like a couple of days later and like try to avoid social media.
Yeah.
So I know who did it, you know, make sure I, you know, don't know who won or lost or whatever, or and it's hard. But I mean, the last card, I caught just the final of three fights live, and all the rest
mm-hmm.
are, you know, caught them a couple of days later, you know. Like this fight, this card here, I mean, they're putting, I think, six fights on the main card, but, I mean, there's a few of them that, you know, I'm not too excited about, and I got things going on. There's going to be power outages and everything else. I'm probably definitely not going to see this pay-per-view. There's no way. I'm thinking there's no way I'm going to see this pay-per-view. But which is fine. You know, I'm glad it's not on 205 because that would really make me upset. If it was on UFC 205, I'd be like, I would be cussing you out right now since this hurricane's named after you. I'd be like, fuck Matthew.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
I didn't mention that. I didn't mention that to the masses, but thanks, Dean. Thanks for mentioning that. Hey, let's get you out of here we've kept you longer than you wanted to be here, and let's get you out with this. Put a little smile back on your face again.
Georgia, the whole day through.
Hey, Dean, listen, you be safe and don't hesitate, brother, to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and haul ass out of there, because you know what? All of your worldly possessions can be replaced, but you can't, brother. So be safe, okay?
All right. All right, thank you. Thank
you. All right, I appreciate your time. Thanks for talking some MMA with me today, man. Bye.
All right, take it. Bye.
Well, that's Dean from Georgia, you know, coming through, saving my ass again. It's always really, really good because he's very knowledgeable. I don't know if you guys noticed, but that's a smart fella. And I appreciate having conversations with him. But anyways, I'm going to wrap up, guys, with a little Fight to Power. You know, I love me some Public Enemy, and I got this song put on here, so I'm going to play it. So listen, guys, coming up every day, we have the MMA Minute with your boy, DJ Tony. He does it every night in prime time. And on Sunday, we're going to have at Pandora Off. So let me spell that for you. At PamDoraBoxx. Follow her. She's a very interesting woman. We're going to have her on. We're going to get to know her on Sunday. And we're going to recap UFC 204 and everything that happened there, and see who won, Bisping or Hendricks. And yeah, guys, I've got a podcast that I'm going to recommend to y'all because I've been enjoying it. And as you know, I've talked about Scribius Pitt before on this show, but check out his podcast this week. It's the Distraction Pieces podcast. They did a drunk cast, so basically him and a bunch of his buddies, or his mates, as they say over across the pond, get together and they drink and they talk MMA, they talk current events, they talk movies, and it's just kind of hilarious. So check it out. Do yourselves a favor. Check it out. And guess what, guys? As always, just like that.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Peace out, everybody. Have a great night. Thanks for listening.